Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show with Roz, Ivory, Terri-Anne, and Melissa. Today's topic is finding your life purpose. And if you have questions watching this later on YouTube or listening to it on one of the podcast platforms, you can email us your questions. And that information is in the show information, that address. And we'll be glad to talk about your question and get back to you with a response at any time. So finding your life purpose, that is an ever popular topic with my clients, I would imagine with you too as well.
Yep.
More than ever. And I think the most secondary question as to what is my life purpose would be, how do I find my life purpose? How do I go about that?
I think one thing that I have experienced in the last year is ever since the pandemic started and people suddenly either their career shifted, they didn't have a career anymore, they were at home, it really brought that question first and foremost for a lot of people. And a lot of people I've talked to have been saying, hey, you know, all of a sudden I realized I don't even like this. I don't even like what I do.
And maybe I never did. I just sort of fell into it, or there was an expectation I would do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Roz, about like the pandemic has really like been a spur for this, because it seems like so many people are reexamining their lives. They're reexamining their goals, their priorities. And that's not surprising, because with great change, that does force us to take a look at ourselves, our lives. But I'm having more people than ever asking me about their life purpose. And I think that's such a wonderful sign. It just lifts my frequency even higher, makes me so joyous, because it means people are really having their awakenings. They're really starting on that journey to enlightenment. And with each person that does that, it helps the whole planet, right? So it's a thing to celebrate for sure.
I think too, you know, as we start asking ourselves that question of what is the meaning of life and why am I here? You know, that just opens a whole box, you know, a plethora of other questions that start coming in. And to me, that's kind of like what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. You know, I think it's wonderful people who tune in to their calling and their life's purpose really early. I know a lot of the children that are, you know, coming to us now, as they get older, they already know their purpose. And that was always the case, but I think it's in larger numbers now. And those of us in the, like, you know, I'm in the baby boomer age. So we just kind of came in and we just got this stuff droned in our head. Like, okay, what is going to be my career? What am I going to do? How am I going to make a living? Am I going to go to college? You know, all these other things, which are kind of like distractions from your actual purpose.
Yeah, it's kind of like maybe teaching parents how to not distract their children from their known life purpose. That would be an interesting thing. I know for me, like at 18 months old, I knew I wanted to be a singer, and I wanted it so bad. My parents bought me a toy microphone, and I had this funky wig I wore that was my mom's old, some costume wig. And I would sing songs, and I'd tell my parents, when I grow up, I'm going to be a singer. That never changed. That never, ever, ever changed. And I did grow up to be a singer. I have done a lot of professional singing, and until I moved to Sedona. So actually, even after I moved to Sedona, I still did a little, but I knew at that young of an age that that's what I was here to do. That's what I wanted to do. But the thing is that missions change. So there came a point when I realized I still want to do that, and I will do professional singing, but that's not that's not my main thing right now. There's something else. And that started in early 80s when I had that awakening. And so, you know, I think people need to know how powerful that spiritual awakening moment is, because it grabs you. It shakes everything up. We hear this all the time. I think I'm going crazy. Or you're going to think I'm crazy. That's always a signal that somebody's really opening up fast.
Yeah. And it's also a signal that, like, maybe taking a step further with that, you're not going crazy. You're actually on the guide, what I call the guided tour. You're on your path that has been kind of like offered to you, but predetermined a little bit.
But you can't force it.
You know, your purpose is there. And I find it so ironic that you and I both have the singing background. Mm-hmm. You know, where I mean, I was singing professionally and getting paid by the time I was 10. So it's like, and singing is joyous. It's a joyous experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting how we have these artistic gifts, which are truly a part of our purpose too, I think, and enjoying that and learning to go with that.
And you can have more than one purpose. I think that's the underlying message I'm giving here, is that there's a lot of people who have dual purposes or even maybe more than two purposes in their lifetime. And so I don't feel like you have to decide between them. I mean, pick the ones that really speak to your heart the most, and you don't have to do everything for a living. I have a lot of musician friends who are absolutely fantastic, and they do jobs. Their main job is being a nurse or being a doctor or being a lawyer, you know, and always their music. They make money and they love it, but they do it because of the joy. They do it because they enjoy it so much. So you don't have to do everything you love for a living. You know, it can be a hobby, but
I think if it falls on you, you know, like in my case, I mean, I didn't go out seeking that when I was 10, but it's interesting because if it just comes and lands in your lap, and to me, that's a big sign that this is part of your purpose. If something just arrives and literally the door opens and there it is, hello, you know.
I do think that the biggest mistake that most people make when they're trying to figure out what their life purpose is focusing on what is my life purpose? I got to find it. What is it? You know, they're so focused on that point down the road that they're missing all of the guidance to get them there. Missing the forest, you know, what is it? Missing the forest.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
Yes. I really think that's true.
I feel like, especially in this day and age where we have so incredibly such a wide range of exposure through social media, through YouTube, of different activities and different things going on. And, you know, if you feel a calling to do something, you have the option to research it, which is nice. It's a part of our soul that, you know, it's our soul guidance, but at the same time, I mean, it never hurts if you suddenly feel an interest in something like, hey, you know, maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you research that thing and you recognize that it's calling you. Pretty good.
I totally agree. I mean, I think that inner push is very important. I always tell my clients, if you feel like you're supposed to talk to a person or take a class or have a session with somebody, a reading or a healing, or go to a place, you know, or read a specific book, anything like that, if you feel a strong push, do it, because it might be your own intuition, your own soul guidance, but it also could be your angels giving you a little push saying, hey, that's important for you. That's a step on your path to finding your life purpose. You need to read that first before, or maybe that person's going to be an important connection for you. We just don't know, but it's hard for me. Like, I'm very shy with strangers, with new people. I
I don't know if it's an empath thing or what it is, but there's been times my angels will tell me to do things like talk to the man behind you in line at the store. He's like two or three people behind me. I'm like, I don't want to talk to that man. I don't know that man. They're like, talk to that man. So, you know, I've just learned, I just do it. I just do it. I push past it. But I think there's a whole lot of ways that we get this guidance. And let's talk about that a little bit. And even if it's like from your own personal story of how you found your own mission.
Well, I think your point's very powerful that a lot of times we do feel that compulsion to do a specific thing, talk to the man, you know, or we are called to a certain place. Those are two really good examples of that drive to find our mission, even though we're not necessarily thinking about that.
How many times have people come to see you and me, all of us, the Sonoma Soul Sisters, and said, I saw your sign and I knew I had to go there.
Oh,
I had to go there. I don't know why. I didn't even know what you do. And I feel like I had to go there. Or they see our picture online and go, I had to see you. I knew I had to see you.
Very true.
Yeah.
Or I hear angels, people telling me, my angels told me, see Ivory in Sedona. They didn't even look it up online. They did look it up online. Roz has heard things like this. I'm sure Melissa has. She's been doing this a long time. People are guided to connect with who they need to connect with. So a lot of times people ask me, why can't you just tell me what my life purpose is? Sometimes I do get flashes of, in general, what it is they're supposed to be doing. But I truly feel like the reason that we can't just be said, oh, you're supposed to save whales, is because then they'd just try to go do it. And they wouldn't get the education, experience, connections that they need to be successful in that mission. You can't bypass the journey and just start your life purpose. It's kind of like if you want to be, if you want to be a doctor, they're not yet going to say, oh, you want to be a doctor? Hey, hang your shingle out, start advertising, get patients. No, you have to go to medical school. You got to study. You got to get your degrees. You got to prepare to be successful with that.
Very true.
Very true.
I think of it as a need, but a calling to get to the bottom of what's calling you and why you feel that. So it's very interesting. I think when in talking to people, how many people, you know, are not alternative practitioners like people in our realm, in our area.
I think it might be helpful for people to hear how each of us figured out what our message was, you know, our life purpose was.
Melissa, you haven't hardly talked at all. Run with it, girl.
One of my most poignant times, aside from when I was a kind of a strange child and talked to angels and the sky all the time, you know, when I was a little kid, was when I think I was in like eighth or ninth grade and I was at school, and everything, all of my journey is a little bit funny because I learn in exciting, fun ways. Like the adventure is, I took the scenic route, is what I gotta say, on my awakening and life journey. But I was in junior high and I had a visitation from just a large group of angels that truly struck me. I mean, like I never had anything like that happen before. And they said, you're gonna be like a psychic medium. And that was when, do you guys remember when Sylvia Brown was on Montel?
Vaguely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was about then. So that was when she was doing those things. And I grew up in a bookstore. So there were books. She had written books. And there were not very many books about our, you know, life path subjects. And so the visitation and at junior high, they said, you're going to be like, kind of like that lady on TV. And I was like, what? And they said, you're going to, you know, help. And they specifically said, bring joy and healing to hearts like that was going to be, not that I was going to do it, but I would bring the piece of the opening, the door of the divine to help. And I thought, okay, if I had known, I thought, wow, okay, cool. It didn't make any sense to me. And I was just struck. I couldn't understand at all. But if I had known, I would have run for the hills, because this has been hard. But over the years, I mean, it's always been a little bit of like, I think you both probably have had this as well, where you learn one layer and one piece of your awakening, and you go, okay, I'm getting good at this. And then there's a new thing to learn, and there's a new part of your path. And it's kind of cool, because we're all musical. And you know, I just, in the last few years, I have been having the nudges, and I try to always follow my heart nudges of where I belong and how to do it and what to do. But I added music into again, because I'm, you know, cello and piano and things like that as a young person. And I added it in again. But throughout the journey, it's almost, some of it is, like I was saying, and I like to make fun of it a little bit, because some of it have been ridiculous, like almost like 2x4s having to hit me in the head to say, by the way, here you go. Here's your next step. Here's your next open door. But always following the path of spirit, of God leading me. That's how the words I use, at least, to help others. It's just led me in funny different directions and across the country and all the learnings. But I still, and in fact, this week I've been just praying a little bit extra, like, so what is my next part of my purpose? How can I do this? How am I supposed to unfold? And what I see in others and in the mirror sometimes that I think is cool is sometimes we get to choose how to do the healing. Like, would I like to do it in more of a nursing doctor kind of way, or in a different path, music, you know, do I want to do it in this kind of little rock and roll way, or would I like to do it in the grand symphony kind of way? And to follow those pieces and open those doors and figure out what you resonate with the most is fun. And I love to see that the people, clients and friends find their purpose in a way of like, let me try this. If it was healing, then they would try a little bit of nursing school, and then would try crystals too. And you would add it together. Or I like psychology, or I would like, and to watch it unfold and to be reminded that I think in these times of awakenings, these last years, especially, all of us are kind of, we're catching on, we're getting it. And you can't go wrong. Like, add the stuff, like try it. And if you don't like the crystals, or you don't like the nursing, what's the next part of your helping people heal or helping yourself heal? As we are always first in our own healing. But my main calling came from sitting at school, and a large group of angelic beings came and told me what I was going to do. The sideways ways I've learned and things like that are just amazing.
That's a pretty powerful conk on the head.
Yeah. Wow. I still am learning. I'd like to not admit how old I am, but that's, 35 years ago at least. And so I'm still learning how to present, or what my next steps are and how I want to do it. Do I no longer like nursing, or do I want to do more crystals, or how do I want to help? And it's actually been pretty fun in the last year, and adding the musical things in. And so that's just an expression of the joy and helping, helping others, and coming home into our hearts, into this awakening.
I think it's funny, like, I was thinking back, you're talking about these things, and I'm thinking back on this journey, and I remember telling people, I just don't understand why every house I've ever lived in has been haunted. What the heck? What is this? And, you know, now I look back on that, I can get a good laugh out of it. It's like, when you're a medium, every house you live in is going to attract spirits. So that explains that one. But when I was 18 and living in Prescott, Arizona, which is just over the mountain range from here, I belonged to a spiritual circle. I was actually a guest at a spiritual circle with a friend, and they had this famous Danish channel. This guy came in from overseas, and he was touring around the country, and he came to this particular circle, and he was going around talking to each person, and he skipped over me, and I was like, oh, well, probably just as well, because I didn't want to be pointed out or the center of attention there at all. And at the very end, he turns around and he goes, you have 9 diamonds around your head. You are a very powerful channel. You will do this for a living. And I didn't even know what a channel was. I asked around later and I was horrified. I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. And I ran from that. Like, I didn't go back to that circle for a long time. And I got married and I had a baby young, and I had that actually just, you know, changed direction for quite a long time because she needed my attention. And the marriage was difficult. That also took a lot of time and attention. So that was like a 10-year segue. And then by then I was getting back, once I was out of that, I was back into spiritual circles. But it wasn't until 84 that I had that powerful experience where every night, I was living in Prescott still, but every single night, some astral beings were coming to me and communicating, and sometimes they would touch me. And it turns out my daughter, who's a psychic medium, was experiencing these things too. And I had this massive awakening, but I still went and worked in radio longer. You know, I still stayed in radio for a few more years. And then I worked in mental health for a long time. It was a long segue before my angels just said, that's it. You have to do this work full time. And that I was not happy. I was like hanging onto the door frame with my fingernails, you know, dug in, like going mule. No, I don't want it. People to know I do this. I was doing it behind the scenes. I was doing it on phone lines under a different name, never under my own name, never showing my face. And I never intended to do that. But my angels are like, nope, this is the time. You have to go do it. So I went and did it. And obviously, because here I am, but I've never regretted it. I was worried I would, but I don't regret it at all. You know, this is by far the most fulfilling work I've ever done. Duh, it's my life purpose. So I don't know. It's just each person's journey is so different. Roz, you probably knew at a really young age.
Well, interestingly, I mean, I was kind of a happy-go-lucky kind of kid. And I would know things and I would blurt things out, you know, and my mother would say, now, you know, you can't be talking about this kind of stuff because people are going to think you're crazy. You know, you can tell me and you can be intuitive. So she really made a huge impact and helped me. And I do feel like that by the time I was in high school and, you know, definitely college, there's no question but that I was doing this work, but I was never thinking I was doing it as a career situation. You know, I was going to college. Oh, no, I want to be a journalist. Got my degree in that. I had no intention of doing this as a full-time career job. But this is what I was talking about, where I think things are sent to you. There is synchronicity and things are directed to you. And in my case, I think at me, because I am pretty good at avoiding things when I don't want to do them. But, you know, angels and guides and your, for lack of a better word, your karma. I mean, what it is you are purposed to do. And so it just sort of happened. And I laugh sometimes when I look back because I never would have sought out this in this format. Now, I did have an interest in getting a degree in psychology for a while, which is kind of a similar, you know, there's the spiritual aspect and the psychological aspect. So, but I feel like we are most definitely energy is directed at us, and we have signed, in my case, I had to have signed some kind of agreement to come here and do this. Because it just, there's no way to make it appear that this was not intended to happen. There's just too many incidents of exactly what you ladies are describing, like too many incidents of presentation of my purpose and taking that step. But I did do it kind of incognito for a very long time.
I totally relate,
like you,
to that.
Aubrey, you know, like finding some other things that I was doing to kind of hide that I was doing this. I just think there's a lot of people like us, like Melissa, you know, Melissa had the blessing to be just come bursting out on the scene and be doing it wide open. You and I were kind of hiding in the bushes.
Overt psychic mediums.
Yeah, doing the work, but not announcing it.
People, like, back a very long time ago, people would call me and say, you help my cousin, you help my brother, will you help me? And I had, you know, I started out in accounting, which is hilarious because that's a bad choice for me. Like, no one logically would think I would choose that. And I tried to do, like, have that career path. And, you know, inside, I knew I was psychic. I'm clear someone's house here and there. Like, you have a ghost in your house? Let me help you fix that. Let's send them on and things like that. And people would start calling me and just out of the blue, like, again, like, you help my friend or you help my brother. And can I have an appointment? And then I kind of finally learned, like, okay, maybe I am supposed to have a, you know, shingle out. Like, I am supposed to be out in the open, but I didn't have children or extra, you know, people to protect. It was pretty much me. And so, again, and I can be kind of boisterous. So I was like, okay, let me try this. Even if you don't like my career, I'm here. And it just kind of led me over and over, because I did try to escape it. I tried to resist it. I hated it sometimes. And I didn't care for some of my learning experiences either, to learn how to be, you know, be the best at what I do and give 100% each time and be responsible when I talk to people. But it always calls you back. I try to run away. Maybe 5 times in my life, I tried to run away. Like, could do something else. Like, you know, I think maybe I should have been a stock car racer.
But the thing is that people do take right turns that take them away from their life purpose. But I think eventually, if it's really supposed to do that, you just keep being brought back to it again, given another opportunity to get back on track. And it's so funny because, like, you know, in your heart, like I knew in my heart, I was supposed to be doing this work. But I come from a very conservative family, and I knew that it would cause problems within the family. And then I was working in very conservative, other than the radio station, I managed a financial planning firm, and I worked in mental health. Those are very conservative settings. And I worried about the little town I lived in, like I was well known, and what were people going to think? So it kind of was good for me to just move across the mountain and come over to Sedona. And yes, people know in Prescott, the boy did it get around. And actually, some of those people have come to me for sessions. So, you know, some of them, I'm sure they're disapproving, they're shocked, whatever, but it doesn't change what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know I'm helping people in the most meaningful way I ever have. You know, that's so fulfilling.
I think that's the real gist of it, of your purpose. When you know that you are supposed to be helping people in ways that other people do not have the gift to do. And that sounds kind of egotistical, but it's not meant to be in any way, shape, or form. It's just a realization that we know things. We are sent information. We are connecting with a divine realm. And that information is shared with us, and we are the messenger to pass that information on. And it's very hard to shirk responsibility with that. I mean, there have been periods where I did not want to do this, and I said, I'm not going to do this. This is not where I want to be. This isn't what I want to do, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is, it's always sent back to me. There's always somebody sent to me. As Melissa was saying, there's someone sent who needs my ability. And so, and there you have it. You know, so you are called. You're called back into it.
And I think we should talk about the fact that not everyone who comes into this lifetime with a mission or a life purpose fulfills it. There's people who never decide to step into their mission or their life purpose, whatever, soul purpose, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, so what happens to those people who choose not to fulfill their mission?
Hopefully they don't.
You know,
stop
I've had
others
a lot of people come to me old when they were old and then say, you know, my life, I'm old now, but I don't think I ever lived my life purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think that there has to be like a feeling of emptiness around that.
You know,
for those people.
I agree. And I've seen that as well. And being, you know, doing part of my work is doing the past life regressions, the spiritual hypnosis. And in some of those, we go to, like after we do a past life regression, we do a life review. So after the person sees a past life and they leave that body, and you kind of ask, like, did you fulfill your purposes? And what would you tell yourself? And how can you heal? Do you need to forgive yourself? And I have just seen the most poignant things come out of people's mouths in that hypnosis state where they said, you know, my favorite one is, and the big one is, I wish I would have loved my people and told the truth more and just tried, put effort into helping somebody in whatever way, because that was my purpose, instead of being selfish and wishing I had more money or, you know, things like that. And I just, it's been so poignant. Like, I've just been just amazed, and I've learned a lot from hearing this. Yeah, but it's my belief that perhaps if we don't fulfill our purposes, big and small, that perhaps in another time space continuum, another life, another way, we'll get that knock at the door and continue that. It's almost like a soul contract with God.
I agree with that. I think that there's two possibilities here. Either, well, the first, let's not possibilities, but approaches. For most people, I think if you don't find your life purpose or you don't fulfill it in this lifetime, you will need to fulfill it in your next life. You'll be have a stronger pushes, more clues and signs. But right now, at this time in history, in the country, in the world, there are so many people being born who have been born in, who are awakening to having a mission, a life purpose. And I think it's crucial that they fulfill it, because they're only here to fulfill that mission right now at this time in history. And if enough people choose not to, if they ignore it, walk away from it, I think it could change how we achieve enlightenment as a planet, how things shift into living more in harmony with one another and with the planet.
I agree. And I wonder if sometimes I look at the, you know, the collective, the mass consciousness, the people, the society that we're in, and I kind of wonder if all of us aren't, you know, catching on and like piece by piece. And it might not be in ways that we think it will be. Like, I'm always shocked at myself going, oh, if I would have known that and made it easier for myself to understand, that would have been great. But what if we, I think one of the big points for this is, it doesn't have to be that people don't have to have fancy job names, or even doesn't have to come out in a career. But what if we put effort into helping this world be better place for the children, for the animals, for the air, the trees, if we put any effort in, it's almost like, to me, it's almost like God will take your hand and go, hey, guess what? Here's another open door. Like, and then that's when you kind of get nudged in the next direction, and didn't always have to be with a big title. And it certainly is not always with a large amount of money or, you know, being more fancy than someone else. You know, if you're in my shoes, I don't know about everyone else, but I certainly have not felt that way.
Roz and I have talked about this numerous times, that there's very few people in our line of work who become rich. You know, pretty much you need to have like a TV show, be famous in some way. It's not about your life purpose, your mission is not about getting rich, though some people do get a lot of financial security, but it is about fulfilling the reason you're here. And I know, like, I always felt like something was missing. It was just something that wasn't quite right until I started doing this work. And I think that's another sign too. Like, people ask me too, how will I know when I found my life purpose? That's one way I knew, is that everything felt right. It just felt like that little space that was empty was filled, and it just felt very right. Any other thoughts about that for yourselves or things with clients?
I also think, you know, I feel like I've always been provided for.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, you know, God takes care of me, basically. Right. If I need something, it's sent. Sometimes I don't even know I need it, but then it's sent. It just arrives. So
I agree with that, Roz, 100%. Like, our needs are met.
I've learned to have faith from that.
What did you want to say, Melissa?
I agree on that with Roz, and it was similar over the years. Again, I haven't had children and I've not been married. So oftentimes I've been at very solitude, doing it all myself, you know. So my dad would check in over the years, and he would say, you know, oh, good, that's good. We're, you know, glad you're having fun or traveling or whatever it is. And he's always said, I'm really proud of you. And when you're working, when you get to connect with the people, tall or short, rich or poor, that makes you shine. And I said, Dad, I know, but why can't next time? I always make fun of him, and I go, next time in my next life, can you just help me learn how to be like an NBA star so I have more money, or it's easier, or whatever it is? And he's like, no, I'm not kidding. Like if the connection with the people that you love, even if you don't like them all the time, but this experience of connecting and bringing good things in, he says it just makes you shine, and I'm so proud of you. So if we remember that, it was almost like God, Dad, you know, my earthly dad, but God was like, I gotcha, and always that helped me remember and be thankful and realize I was always taken really good care of and protected, even in the worst days, worst storms. Absolutely. And so I would think that with all of us, in whatever ways we express our purposes, big and small, it's like it's almost like a hand of God holding us, like leading us along. That's how it feels to me, at least.
Some people's life purposes may align with making a lot of money, but I think this comes with part of evolving as a people, as a planet, is reevaluating our priorities, and making money and having things is not true success. That's financial success, but it's not the true abundance. It's part of it. But the true abundance is the people in your life, the relationships you have. How have you helped people? What do you have to look back on that you can be proud of and realize that you accomplished things that helped other people or groups of people or the humanity as a whole? That's a different way of looking at life. And I find that people who haven't had their spiritual awakening have a very difficult time even getting their mind into that kind of thinking.
So true.
I'm not against capitalism. I'm not a socialist. Let's just put this out here. I'm just saying that the way that mankind has evolved as humans and the way that we think and the things we value are not necessarily really the things that we would be in our best interest to value. And we need to let go of what's going to make me the most money. You know, it's going to be, how can I best fulfill my life purpose? How can I help the most people? You know, what's going to make me feel the best that I've really given my all to my mission? And missions, you know, this is something we need to talk about before we run out of time. Missions are not all spiritual events. Like, you don't have to become a psychic. You don't have to become a minister. There's a lot of people who have strong missions, and it's to do humanitarian work. They're doing nursing, doctors, paramedics, firefighters, police officers, all kinds of service jobs are full of light workers who are doing their mission, doing their fulfilling their life purpose.
That's so an undiscussed and unrecognized point. I mean, we were kind of talking about that earlier, and then we went a different direction. But I have met over the years so many people who are born healers. They're using that frequency of healing all the time, but they chose to take it in a very traditional format. So they have training as doctors, nurses, you know, whoever, however, and it's still they're doing their calling, they're healing people, they're using their frequency of love and caring with a traditional, you know, training that they have. And I see that so much in nurses, just incredible.
The dedication.
I mean, they felt a calling to do that, and they got the formalized training to do it, but they were always a healer.
That's true also for people who are running or working at nonprofit agencies, who are doing volunteer work. I mean, there's just many, many different directions that a light worker can go in to fulfill their life purpose. And so don't think that if you're doing something now where you're helping people, oh my gosh, I gotta get into something spiritual. I need to become a spiritual counselor. You don't have to. You know, if you really love what you're doing, you're passionate about it, and you know you're helping people, you're right where you're supposed to be right now.
This crossed my mind last night. I was on a date last night. There was a group of us, and we were out to eat at fancy food. This exact thing was like, wow. So one of the wait staff was delightful and would look at you in your eyes, you know, and things like that. And she had a way of just bringing, it's just like uplifting everybody and making everyone giggle. And then she was also bringing us all our food and refilling the water glasses. And so nourishing us too. And I had to stop her and I go, man, you have a good way about you. Like, thank you for being delightful. Thank you for bringing me just a second of happiness, peace, smile, goodness. And to me, she might not think her job is as fancy as our titles, but she was nourishing people with a little bit of uplift, a little bit of love. And she might have had a bad day and her kids had, you know, thrown everything out the window or whatever it is. But she gave to me a little bit of light, a little bit of nudge, I just felt safe and loved at that dinner table. Does that make sense? Like, it was nurturing.
It does. You know, when you run into somebody who is working their mission. And another one, we talked about music earlier. I know a lot of singers, actors, dancers, musicians, different types of artists who are absolutely fulfilling their life purpose in the arts. The arts are very powerful. I mean, I don't want to make this about myself, but I'm just using this as an example. When I was singing with a band, I remember looking out into the audience and I'd see people with their eyes closed and they're going like this. And I went, that is really weird, because we were kind of like this really visual band. And later they'd come up and they'd go, I just feel so much better after I hear you sing. I try to come to your shows because I feel better all the way through. after I hear you sing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I really thought about that. I'm like, wow, you know, you can do healing through your singing. And then later somebody pointed out to me that if you have that kind of voice, like, you're doing healing through your speaking. This show right now is doing healing for people, and it's lifting people up, and it's helping people guide them to their life purpose, which I wish for every one of you, because there's nothing more fulfilling than finding your mission and just pouring yourself into it. It's not, you know, that thing they say, if you find your passion, that you'll never work another day in your life. I don't know if that's totally true. It still is work, but you won't resent it. Like, it's not like you're counting down the hours till time off. You're just looking forward to the next person who's going to show up that you can help. You know, how am I going to be able to help people today? And that is a joyous place to be, no matter what you're doing in your life purpose.
And that is the truth right there.
Beautiful.
Whatever you are doing that brings you joy and helps whoever you're working with, you're on your life purpose. You're doing it.
I was talking to my daughter. We talk many times a week, but we were talking earlier this week and something came up about retirement. And I said, you know, Michelle, I don't think I will fully retire unless health demands it, or I can't mentally do this work anymore. I want to do this work as much as I can till I pass. That's how much I love it. However that may be, in whatever fashion that comes, I don't know. I hope I still have some good years, a good amount of years left in me to do this work, but I don't have ambitions to become something else at this point.
And that's probably a good thing, because you're probably not going to be allowed to anyway. It would that is one thing when you, right, you hit on your calling and it helps people. There, that's not an accident.
Yeah. Whenever Roz has tried to like pull away from this and like semi-retire, her angels are like, no, no.
I used to come up with all kinds of reasons why I wasn't going to do it anymore. And I'd stop for a little while and then it just returns on its own accord. So that's sent.
Yeah. I think you just have to go with that. And so one last thought about this is that maybe your life mission, your purpose will be something a little different than what you're thinking it is. And just go with the journey. See where the journey takes you and try not to have too much preconceived notion of what it'll look like. Most people really don't know exactly what they're going to be doing. And my students, I usually just tell them, just let this unfold. Let it happen in the time it's meant to. Take every opportunity, follow every inner push, notice your signs and guidance, but don't try to push it to happen faster than it's meant to. It just won't happen.
And there you have it.
And tune in next week when our topic is Indigo, Crystal, and Rainbow Children. That's going to be a really fun one. In the meantime, we hope you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.